So when did you move to Nashville?
I came to Nashville as far as staying here in the early 80s from Florida. I'd been in South Florida in 77 through about 81, something like that. So 81, 82.
Mm-hmm. And you come here, obviously, to play music.
Yeah, and you remember some of these guys. He wound up taking Chuck Howard Jr. changed his name. Daryl Puckett was his name originally, and then they had a stage name, Daryl Clanton.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually, when I got to Nashville, I was actually playing with Daryl, and Daryl had a record deal, and Chuck Howard Jr. was producing him. So when I came to town, I already had not a six-night-a-week gig, but I had some gigs I was doing. And almost right off the bat, I got to play on Daryl's record. That was on a label called Audiograph. I've still got a copy of that somewhere. And, your old buddy and our old buddy, Pete Drake, I think he did a bunch of those Audiograph projects. That was some kind of project back then. They had people like Ernest Tubb and some new people like Daryl. And they did videos, so they did a video of it. But I also remember the day I got to Nashville, Chuck's dad, we called him Big Chuck, Chuck Howard, who wrote a lot of famous songs, Always on a Mountain When I Fall, and I can't think right off the bat. But the day I came into town, I had met him in Tampa, where I was playing with these guys, Daryl and Robert Keith and some people like that. And Chuck took me to some studio, and so the first day I'm in Nashville, I played on the demo of a song called The Show's Almost Over, which was a pretty popular song. Haggard did it, and George Jones did it, and I remember, I always remember doing that. Here I pull into town and immediately go to the studio and play on this demo, and I said, yeah, man, this seems pretty easy.
Do you have a preference for playing in the studio or playing live?
I like them both, but I know for me, I like playing just about anywhere. So we're doing this interview in White's Creek, and right around the corner is that new development called the Fontenelle. They have the amphitheater, but then they have the little restaurant there. We play there. Maybe one night a week, and I do that thing with Wayne Moss on Sunday at the Piccadilly.
Talk a little bit more about that, man, because you've been doing that, what, a year and a half?
A couple years now.
I mean, every week, a different star. I mean, so many stars you've played with Wayne.
Yeah.
I mean, name a few folks you've been playing with. I mean, Charlie McCoy,
Russ Hicks, yeah,
Williams.
All of Wayne's buddies, yeah, and then even people like Ronnie Stoneman, we all got a kick out of her coming out there and doing her show, and then some guys like Tim Wright was in the Wright Brothers. They never became a big household name, but he's a really good musician from Indianapolis. And there's a guy from Big Sandy named John Austin who's really good. So yeah, some of the younger guys, and then a lot of the classic people. Weldon Myrick's been out there, and all our heroes, those old Eric Oates 615 guys, the ones that are still alive,
right?
They come out there. Of course, Buzz Kaysen. I'll tell you something real quick. When I was still in Knoxville, I was 18 playing in a black band called 14 Karat Black. And I hadn't met Buzz back then, but when they came up, they had a deal on... John R. had a label, a division of Monument. John Richborg, everybody called him John R. And so way back, this would have been around 1970, we recorded at Creative Workshop when it was probably an 8-track studio, and Buzz was the engineer. I still got the 45s. We did like 3 45s over maybe about a year. And so, and they were always talking, the singer, this guy Bill Brantley, was always talking about Buzz Kaysen and Matt Gaden and a couple of those guys. And so here I recorded at Creative Workshop, and don't really remember meeting Buzz. And then back when Buzz played at the Piccadilly last year, I brought in these records, and he got a kick out of seeing those.
Yeah.
And then I had him, you know, initial them, sign them for me. And so that was kind of neat.
You've toured with several different artists. I know you were out on the road with Bobby Bear.
I've done, yeah, I was kind of, most of my road stuff, I'd say was more in like a filling capacity. I've never been really that lucky getting a, you know, like a Garth Brooks gig or Tim McGraw. Although I met those guys and I used to hang out with and play with, you know, besides some of the guys in McGraw's band, you know, actually played with Tim way back when he was still playing around Music Row and stuff like that. But yeah, not this last summer, but for two summers, I did some gigs with Bobby Bear, and I really enjoyed that. And Freddie Fender back in the 80s, Tanya Tucker, a couple of fill-in things with her. You know, most of them in that kind of capacity. Mm-hmm. And then my most famous gig, or the ones my kids like me to talk about, was when I was still at UT. In 1976, I actually played with Michael Jackson, and you know, while he was still with his brothers. It wasn't called the Jackson 5, it was just called the Jackson, mm-hmm. Jacksons. And then I did that, and again, all this stuff was, you know, that was, it just, everything seemed so easy. I don't think I really took it that seriously. I knew it was really cool doing that, and I remember losing my place on the charts just watching Michael Jackson and his brothers dance and stuff. You know, I just, you know, wearing a tux, sitting with the strings and the trombones and the brass and all that stuff.
Well, I know you also work with Billy Cox.
Yeah, I did an album. This would have been, I know Chantel, my oldest daughter, she just turned 23, and so it was the year before she was born. Yeah, I remember Dawn was pregnant with Chantel, so that would have been like 25, 24 years ago.
Yeah.
And we did an album. The first Rays of the Rising Sun was the name of the album, and the band was called Gypsy Suns and Rainbow Moons.
Cool.
Yeah. And I still see Billy, not regularly, but I still really enjoy talking to him and seeing him, and I'm really glad his experience Hendrix thing. It sounds like it's doing really well. And I probably bugged him a little too much asking him about Jimi Hendrix stuff. But
he's probably used to it.
I've got a Jimi Hendrix fuzz face Billy gave me.
Wow. Man,
that's worse. I don't even know if I should say that.
No, you better not say anything about that.